Banta with Tony and Mimi, a cross-generational conversation between a millennial.
Wow. Who knew I would become a historian of Afrobeat culture?
And a Gen Zer.
Life be trifling, but we stay.
Lifing.
Oh
God, we gotta work on this.
Join us as it is bound to be exhilarating, exciting, entertaining, and healing.
Welcome to Banta with Tony and
Mimi.
A cross-generational conversation between a millennial and a
Gen Zer.
Okay. We hope that you will stay with us, that you will become a weekly listener. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast.
Don't forget to share. Share, like, exactly. Tell a friend to tell a friend that tells another friend. Bring all your friends.
Yes.
Because this will be a listen and a ride of a lifetime. It'll be a great time. A second won't be wasted, you know?
I agree.
Topics will be covered.
Okay.
A lot will be shared.
So if somebody had to ask, what is Banta? What do you guys talk about? What is your podcast about? What would you say?
I would say it is an open conversation between, emphasizing the cross-generational part, it's an open conversation with topics that people may be afraid to touch because of family matters. Mm-hmm. But I feel like we're very prepared to talk about things open and honestly and with each other. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a different thing. And share our opinions and bounce off of each other's opinions. Mm-hmm. Open ears and
ears.
Yes. What would you say Banta is to a listener who doesn't know? How would you introduce Banta with Tony and Mimi?
Yes, I think for me, it started from this place of like, I was very excited, what I would say about maybe 3 to 4 years ago, when I feel like everybody had like this awakening of what it meant to be a Black person in America, a Black person in the UK, just a Black person in diaspora in general. But I think as I started to look at things more, I realized that at the core of us, if those of us who have a closer connection to Africa, if we don't work through certain things that we have, those connections that other people that are maybe a couple of generations removed are trying to make, that we will not be able to help them out, because sometimes I don't feel like we've dealt with a lot of our trauma and a lot of our pains and the things that truly matter.
Yeah.
So I think Banta for me at the core of it is to get us to talk about those issues. Like there will be light things. We will discuss pop culture, but I want us to talk about issues that really affect our communities that can help us lead to like a better place of healing so that everybody connected to Africa and her people will be better off for it. So those on the continent and those in diaspora will be better for it. So that's like, if I had to put it into words, I think that's what I'm hoping for. And like you said, I don't think anybody should look at us as a model. Like, we're not perfect. We're not going to have all the answers. We're just having really two people's opinions on a lot of issues and how we see it and how we go about life can be very different.
It's banter.
Exactly.
With Tony and Mimi.
You talk and I talk.
Yes.
And we both hear each other out. And we hope that maybe it'll inspire people to do that in their lives, right?
Mm-hmm. So most definitely.
You can have your own cross-generational conversation in your life.
And, you know, with any kind of relation, because it's right now it's auntie and niece, you know, grandmother and granddaughter, mother and sister, you know, sister and sister, sister and grandmother, you know.
And there's so much to be learned. I think when we look at a lot of cultures that have survived or made it in ways that we can emulate, one of the things that's present is that cross-generational interaction, you know. So I think a lot of our societies, we understand that we get that we need to have a father talking to a son, a niece talking, like, you know, we always talk up, but I don't think we value talking down. So you always go and you say, okay, this is my elder. Let me listen to what they have to say.
Yeah.
And la-di-da-di-da. But very seldomly, very rarely do you hear somebody say, oh, this is my son, or this is my niece, or this is my little sister. Let me hear what he or she has to say. So hopefully this will also help to bridge that gap.
Most definitely. I feel like us having these conversations is definitely going to reach families out there somewhere and to where the taboo won't be taboo.
Yeah. So I guess, pop culture. So what's going on? What is one thing that's happening in pop culture today that you want to talk about?
But like in...
It can be anything that's going on.
It can be anything.
It can be something that's happening in Nigeria, something that's happening in Sierra Leone, that's happening here. It could be, literally anything. It could be sports, it can be entertainment, it could be anything.
if I may, since I have the floor. Well, I just saw the premiere for Beyonce. Oh, I didn't see the premiere, but I saw everybody who attended Beyonce's film for Renaissance, the premiere, the event.
Are we rating outfits or something?
Oh, we can rate outfits.
Well, what were you originally wanting to talk about?
Well, if anything, I just wanted to flaunt my love for Marseille's look. Marseille Martin, she's one of my favorite. She's like, I think she's like a year older than me.
Oh.
And she just looked really good. If anything, her outfit, if we want to do outfits, like, that was one of my favorites.
I want to see it, though, because I haven't seen
oh,
it.
Oh, here's her.
I'm not on Instagram.
Yeah, okay. That's what okay. I
mean. She caged up the stomach. The stomach is in a cage. Okay.
She's a corset.
See-through. You know her stylist. I follow her stylist on Instagram.
You do?
Yes, Mr. I feel like I'm going to butcher his name because I always call him Byron, but I think his name is Brian. Brian Wait, Javar. So but I was like, Byron Javar. Oh, mm-hmm. No, it's not Byron. And he also styles Quinta Brown.
Oh.
Yeah, she had like this like pearl looking. Yeah. So he styles her.
Abbott Elementary, right?
Yeah.
I was thinking of the show. That's what.
Yeah.
Yes, Quinta.
Okay. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that.
And Halle Bailey, I liked her jacket, but
she covering her stomach.
Everybody trying to say she's pregnant.
I know she's pregnant.
I think, y'all, until Halle says it, she says it, but I don't know how. Like, I can't not believe that she's pregnant. I'm sorry. Like, I'm sorry. Like, she's preggy.
So you don't think the queen bee herself slayed the home premiere?
Oh, I loved her hair, though. Okay, the color. Wait, let me bring it back up. Because best believe it's not erased out my mind, but I just need to see. Okay. So she definitely stuck with the Renaissance theme. You know, yes. The platinum, mm-hmm. The metallics.
Yes.
And everything. So I loved her dress and mm-hmm. everything. I genuinely do really love her hair. I like that she went like platinum blonde.
Yeah.
And she just looks good all the time.
I guess, yeah, like everybody's been saying she doesn't look like herself. And I think I agree. Maybe it is the hair color. Maybe it affected things.
Yeah, maybe she washed her out or something.
Yeah.
But even then, I feel like...
Maybe it's the metallics too.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
all the metallics, silver.
How it bounces off the camera. Yeah, her skin just looked... Everybody was like, who is this white woman?
Well, I feel like black people look better in gold, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So even this, everyone that went, everyone looked good, but we own gold. We own every color, but
you know, if I had to rate everybody's look, even though I feel like she looks washed out, I do feel like Beyonce, I mean, she's Beyonce, so
Beyonce.
She owned it.
So,
you know, I do things in threes. So I think for me, mm-hmm. Beyonce will be number one.
Mm-hmm.
I actually liked Victoria Monet's look.
The red, yes. Oh my gosh, me too.
You know, like when everybody else is doing one color, she's like, let me come through.
Yes.
So I think I will give her a three.
Yeah, let me try to see.
And I think Kelly will be my two. So I think it's Beyonce, Kelly, and Victoria Monet.
Period. For me, I would say I don't know. Yeah, I just really loved Marseille's look.
Uh-huh. That's your three. You can give you a three.
Okay, Beyonce's one, and then Marseille, and then I don't know, it's between Victoria and Kelly, but I think Victoria's three for me. But Kelly looked really good. Honorable mention would mm-hmm. be Kelly Rowland and Normani.
Oh, I didn't even see Normani's picture.
Normani.
I did not see
Normani.
Her.
Normani. That's my girl, pun intended. All you harmonizers out there, wow. You got that. No, because I said, that's my girl. And they have a song called That's My Girl. If you know, you know. If you were a harmonizer, you know. No, she doesn't.
No. We had 3LW when we were coming up. We didn't have, what are they called?
Fifth Harmony. Little Mix.
We had 3LW.
Flow is new.
Okay, she's giving shoulder pads, structure.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's still going to be, actually, I'm going to have to change mine. I didn't see Michelle's outfit.
Michelle Williams.
Talk about drama.
Okay,
Michelle. Poofy. We didn't see that coming for you.
No, especially the for you part. I'm sorry.
Yeah, she's always so quiet. So mm-hmm. I always think like she dresses up like in flowers.
Oh, wow. Yeah, she looks cute.
Yeah.
Okay, girl. But yes, Beyonce, I will be seated in theaters just because I don't know what happened with my ticket. But we couldn't make it
to the Renaissance show. Okay. We tried.
Yeah, we did try.
But we couldn't make it. So we'll be at the movie premiere. That's a yes for me. Okay.
Yes.
So pop culture, my turn.
For Mrs. Antonio Vida.
Yes. It would have been good if you had watched it, but maybe this will inspire you to watch it.
Hmm.
So I watched Tyler Perry's story that his actual ex, Gilia Beleke, I hope I'm saying it right. You know, she's Ethiopian. Yeah, she's Ethiopian and she's a filmmaker. So she's the one that directed this documentary about his life. It's called Maxine's Son.
Mm-hmm.
Because really at the end, I don't want to have a spoiler, but the person behind the camera asks him, if you could describe yourself in one word, what would it be? It was really funny because he's like, I'm Tyler Perry. You don't know who the hell I am. And he was like, no, like, how would you describe yourself? Like, I'm Tyler Perry and I love flowers. Or Madea. I'm Tyler Perry. Yeah. And then so he said, I'm Tyler Perry and I'm Maxine's boy or Maxine's son or something like that. But it was such a good story. I think for me, I liked just seeing that he's always like believed in himself, even in the darkest moments, right? And I think it's also the power too of sometimes when you're close to something or you're close to maybe having a breakthrough,
mm-hmm.
is sometimes like when the hardest things happen to you.
Most definitely.
So
mm-hmm.
he had already been through abuse. I don't want to spoil it for those who are going to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
He had already been through abuse, but at the point when he was about to give up and say he was not going to do these shows anymore, because his mother, he had lost some money, he couldn't pay rent, and his mom was like, this is never going to happen for you, yada, yada, yada. And then that's when that one show happened and he said people were like lined up around the theaters and stuff. And that was the beginning of the Madea character taking off.
Yes, Madea, Madea.
Mm-hmm. So I think I liked watching, it was like whenever we watch stuff anyways, we have conversations. So we talked about why people would think that he's difficult to deal with. And I just feel like he's just mastered his craft. Like, as you watch him, he talks about the reason why he directs and writes and all these things. He's just like efficient because he feels like there's a lot of things that are done that are redundant in the movie making industry.
Mm-hmm.
So he likes to cut through all of that. And I just remember like there are people that I had known in my life who are like into the arts scene and they'd always had such hard criticisms for him. Like they'll be like, he's not really an actor. He does 5 jobs when he could be hiring other people to do that. And then they didn't like the character of Madea.
Of Madea in general, yeah.
So how did you see Madea growing up? Yeah, maybe that's something to ask.
Madea was just, what's the word I'm looking for? She was a hoot. Like, Madea was always just a funny character. If anything, when I was younger, I wasn't, you know, really deeping the meaning of all his movies. I pictured Madea as just like, it was always a good time when Madea was on screen. It was always funny. And the jokes she made, like, because it's like, she's depicted to be like this wild, mm-hmm. black woman. Like, because, yes, like, Madea's black, but, like, she's just, like, she was crazy. But it's, like, I didn't really know nobody like that in my life.
Really?
So,
you don't know nobody like that, you know?
Oh! I mean...
Didn't you say you started the show by telling the truth?
Oh, I did. Okay.
Okay. Not Madea. We don't know anybody. Yeah, I was going to say, we don't know anybody that will carry guns in their purses or anything like that.
Madea.
Yeah.
But it was always just fun to watch what Madea was going to do in the next movie. That, you know, Tyler Perry came out with. And then to even find out, when I was young, I didn't know that Tyler Perry was Madea. Madea was Tyler Perry.
Oh, wow.
I
really?
Just thought,
so you thought it was a different character?
Yes. When they would put Brian, like Tyler Perry, when he would act in the movie and they would put Madea, I thought it was two different people.
Wow, that's interesting.
And Uncle Joe. Is his name Joe?
Yeah, Madea's he's brother. Joe too.
Joe. Yeah, I know that now. I kind of figured out that, you know, Madea was Tyler Perry. But when it came to Joe, I did not know. For a while after I found out that Madea was Tyler Perry. So
interesting.
But I always liked Madea because she was crazy. Like, she was cuckoo.
So yeah, he kind of talked about the fact that there's those uppity black people that feel like she was just a bad representation. And then the fact that it was a man trying to play a woman or playing a woman's role. A lot of people had issues with that. So they just talked about like people were like, I don't want to give away a lot of it, but people were protesting at one point his role. I didn't know all of this. I was like, where do they have time? Where do they have time? Because I'm not taking time out of my life to go protest and stuff. But I have a job to get to and things to do. Where is the time?
No, because where is the time to protest that you don't like the fact that Tyler Perry is in a gray wig and a long granny dress? So why are you mad?
Because those movies, when they first came out, they were plays. So even to see them, you'll probably have to pay to go to the play. And then they got on DVD.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So then you'll have to buy the DVD.
The DVDs, yes.
And then he started having movies. Mm-hmm. So then you'll have to go to the movie. Do you see the point I'm making here?
Mm-hmm.
Each of those, you'll have to go out of your way to actually go and see those
movies.
And watch
them.
So if you already saw one and you didn't like it, I don't understand why you're watching all 55 of them.
But yeah, I could see why that they have... See, okay, all the protests and things and everything. Why I don't get why it's a big deal for him to play Madea, though.
because there was a thing in Hollywood, and that's why it's good for us to have these conversations like we talked about, mm-hmm. right? There was a thing in Hollywood, and there's still a belief by some people that a lot of times for African-American men to make it in the Hollywood space, they have to play a female character or they have to play a role that depicts them in a negative light.
That mocks.
So, yeah. For example, like Denzel Washington, Training Day. He's done other movies that were phenomenal, but that's the one he got the Oscar for, and he was a drug dealer in that.
Oh.
Halle Berry, well, she got the best actress. That was for her. It was Monsters Ball, right? Mm. And that was a very graphic movie showing her in a not so great light. So Martin Lawrence, he's really famous and all of that, but he would get into female outfits.
Big Mama. Mm-hmm. Bro, I love Big Mama too.
Exactly. Who else? Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy.
He would definitely play some female. Remember Norbit? Norbit's
character? Oh my.
Who was eating the turkey? See,
it's like, don't take it too seriously.
That was my
seriously.
Favorite part of the film. Like, who was eating the turkey?
Norbit. Harder. Yeah, that's Rasputia. Yeah, yes. He had to play Rasputia, and he played like in Nutty Professor. He wasn't, but he played like you know the mom and everything, like just to get up in like a female.
So actually, I feel like Eddie Murphy was the first one to play multiple characters in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
So when Tyler Perry came along, he was probably just copying from like I'm not saying copying, but like somebody else had done.
Pulling inspiration from.
Uh huh. Probably get pointers.
Inspired by, loosely inspired by.
How to film it when it's the same person.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my pop culture thing for today. So for our deeper discussion, I thought it would be good because I remember before we embarked on this journey, I wanted us to go to Women Evolve, right? Because I had the idea in my mind and I think I had shared it with you. And I said, I just wanted us to start the journey with like this confirmation and then for us to pray and just have... It's kind of like a renewal. Like when you're starting a new phase in your life, you just want to be cleansed and just start fresh.
Yes, 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 so. Yes. Like a rebirth, like a death and a rebirth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I want us to talk about faith. And I want to know, what is faith like for you personally, right?
Personally.
But then what do you think also faith has become for your generation? Like how do you guys view it? Because I think we kind of touched about it personally, like in our own personal discussions, but I thought this would be a good first topic for us to cover, like how we view faith in my generation and how you guys view faith and maybe what we could both learn from each other about that.
Okay. Well, personally, I am only 18, so I do know that I have like, you know, a heck of a lot of life left to live and just so much ahead of me. So it's like as much as I am trying to grasp my idea with faith now. I know it's like not going to be the end all be all definition for me. But I will say that for the past like, you know, from being a girl to like, you know, a young lady, I have struggled with my faith quite a bit to the point where like I just, at one point, I don't think I had any like, belief system. I just felt like, you know.
So were you atheist?
I was not atheist.
Okay.
If anything, I was not an atheist, but I couldn't understand God. And I did question him. I was angry at one brief moment. But, and then like that subsided and I just felt like just a walking blob living on earth. That was just here with like no substance and no like guidance, you know, and to even come out of that and in that as well, I knew like as much as it's uncomfortable to even say that out loud and as it was for me when I was living through it, I knew it was not like what I truly believed. It was just like what my environment, and my life situation at the time was projecting onto me and where my mind was every single day I woke up. Like it wasn't ideal. And then to come out of that, I would say now I'm like building my belief system and finding what faith means for me outside of like when I was younger. But like now this is like for me, as well as my family's influence is very important. You know, I'm with them every day and it's like, we can all agree, but we can all like not disagree, but I just know I want to find faith for myself and what my belief system is and my relationship with God for me as an individual.
Mm-hmm.
not so heavily influenced by my environment nor the people in it. Okay. But at my core, knowing that I got this for me.
So generationally, how then would you think your generation views faith that's different from how we might view it?
Well, first off, I would say like just even someone stating that they don't believe in God or that they're non-religious wouldn't evoke such a reaction that maybe your generation would or would have responded to it. Like, I feel like if I were to sit in a room full of people my age and a little bit older than me and just a room full of people my like generation, mm-hmm. I don't think the room would move as much as a room full of people from your generation would move if somebody said that, or generations before you. Mm. If somebody stood up and said, I'm just a spiritual person who doesn't, you know, or atheist, or I don't believe in God, you know, I don't think it bugs us. If anything, everyone's worried about themselves, mm-hmm. but sometimes it can become like detrimental to the point where everyone is running lost and like loose and they think they're running free, but it's like, no. Because I feel like to each their own, you can believe in what you want to believe in. But at the end of the day, if you don't believe in anything, I don't know.
What guides you?
Yeah, what guides you to do what you do?
Yeah.
Yeah. So generationally, I do think it's very much become more individualistic, but there's a collectivism in like the individuality that's not so like united, if that makes sense. That sounds really...
I was going to say, how is there collectivism in individuality?
That's interesting. It's like we're all so connected in believing that we have a right to stand on our own, but that doesn't give us any root or foundation to actually be connected or unified. Like, I don't think... we are like connected, or there's union because of materialism rather than like us connecting for a lot of deeper reasons, if that makes sense. Is that answers your question?
Yeah, I mean,
I'm just a girl.
That's why we're having these conversations, because I think it's interesting, right? Mm-hmm. And then we always have to remember that we're also speaking from the point of view of like people that were raised by African parents. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that's always a good disclaimer to have, because mm-hmm. I'm sure there are families out there that'll be like, oh, I've been atheist and my father was atheist and my grandfather was atheist. And then, but for a lot of us in the African community, it's like for somebody to say they don't believe in God, you almost believe that they believe Satan or they're following satanic ways. Do not allow the devil to use you. Hmm. Do not allow the devil to make your heart a commonplace.
Yeah. And I feel like there's a lot of like backlash, and because with your generation, like what your parents believed, they forced you to believe, or it was heavily like just slapped onto you. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't maybe until you guys got, you know, definitely way older than eight. Some of you got way older than 18 to realize that, because some people do still live in the strict religious ways of how they were brought up and like what their parents or what their family thought. But then there's others who are having questions about their own belief system at like 40 or something, rather than my age, if that makes sense. So like the question or just the concept of I'm trying to figure it out is not received well by, say, like, it would be like my grandparents, because I feel like it's something that my aunt that you can understand, but my grandparents wouldn't, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So then I think our parents' generation, definitely the faith, there's really not a lot of room for interpretation. Mm-mm. There's not a lot of room for discussion. Mm-mm. There's not a lot of room for discovery. There's not a lot of room for finding out what it means for you. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it was about me when I was younger, but from when I was at a younger age, I understood that it had to be more of like a personal thing for me. So even despite what my friends might believe, this person might believe, I'm always very open. Like, I want to hear what somebody practices, what faith they have and all of that. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, like, I'm firm in what I do and how I view life and the principles that guide me. But it doesn't mean I'm not open to hearing how somebody else came about to practice things the way that they do. Mm-hmm. So I think for millennials, I think we had both worlds. I think we had the strictness. Mm-hmm. And then I think we have what your generation has, which is more of the openness and the...
Yeah.
But I think there are certain times when I'll meet certain people that were my age and they will have the same views as like my parents' generation, right? And there's no budging, there's no, you just kind of let those people go because I'm not going to lose my head over
it. Step to the side.
Yes. And then I'll meet others who are like very open. I'll be like, oh yeah, I'm Christian, but I believe in this, or I do this and I do that.
Yeah.
So I think for millennials, it was like that living in both worlds, which for a lot of us, like whether it's first generation immigrants or whatever within the African community, we are always kind of straddling the line.
Mm-hmm.
So for Faith, for our generation, I think we did explore things. Because I lived up north, I think I have encountered probably more people that were just kind of like indifferent to faith than I have encountered people that have more firm and more strong viewpoints, and they want it to be known, and they're just
wear it loud
when I
proud.
Moved down south.
Yeah.
So I can tell you, because I have lived on both ends of America when it comes to being in the Midwest, but being from up north and then migrating down south, that even with some of our African people up north, there's like an indifference there. And when you come down south, there's so many things that are dictated by faith that I think I found the most intolerance. If that's even like not too harsh of a word to use. But yeah, because I feel like up north, somebody might have their viewpoint, but if they listen to somebody else or they had conversations, they might be like, okay, I can see where you're coming from.
Yeah, they have the willingness to listen.
Yes. So yeah, that's what I mean by intolerance. Whereas down here, it's like if somebody has their viewpoint, that's their viewpoint. And you might make a valid point, but they're not even going to give you a chance because they're like, we don't do that.
Yeah, well, and if they don't.
We don't do that though.
Yeah, they don't agree with it, you're automatically.
This is like, what it is.
Yeah, I don't mess with that, bro. I don't mess with him.
Yeah.
Wait, why are we doing that voice though?
But that's the intensity of which it came to. So, yeah. And then I think for some of us, faith, like you're saying, the negative connotations of it, like you guys will never know what it felt like to be woken up at 5 o'clock in the morning to have morning devotionals. Your generation will never know.
I won't.
Yeah. But we had to experience that.
Yeah.
We had to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning and pray. And how dare you sleep at 5 o'clock in the morning, because you're going to be accused of allowing the devil to use you.
If only there was a camera on me right now.
Exactly.
Isn't
no, can you imagine if there was a camera when we were growing up, the kind of TV shows we'll have.
Oh like, my.
Don't allow the devil to use you.
Is that like religious trauma?
Must be.
Because ain't no way.
Yeah.
Because I want to rest my eyes. I'm Satan.
I mean, all of a sudden, they could be preaching about something. You could be reading a Bible verse that has nothing to do with what's happening. Then all of a sudden, you will be the topic of conversation because you'll be like, and Jesus was tempted. Just like how some people are being tempted right now.
Oh, no.
To close their eyes.
Yep. Oh, no.
The passive aggressive.
Passive aggressive, just blunt. Shots to you, yeah.
So we are the ones that had to live through that passive aggressive coming at you with
and
the
sometimes
faith.
Sometimes aggressive.
Oh, yeah. And then the differences, I think, like, especially in the African community, the expectation for girls was different for boys. So it also translated in the faith, too. I think boys had the chance to not be as involved in the church or not being, like, open with their faith, but you see that more with girls. It's like, that's how you prove that you are
a strong woman.
Good
a
African
good woman,
woman.
Yeah.
And when you pray from morning to sundown, when you come down, your entire body is covered from the top of your head to the sole of your feet. No, your auntie's a rebel, so I didn't always do that. But it didn't mean that I'm not a woman of faith. That's the problem. Hey, I think I confuse people. Because maybe you might look at me from the outside and be like, this ragamuffin or whatever word you want to call it.
Wow.
Ragamuffin is a real word.
What is that
you see,
mean?
This show,
ragamuffin?
I mean, this podcast is going to expose you to some vocabulary.
And expand and broaden my vocabulary.
Ragamuffin is the same as like
ragamuffin.
A drug dealer, street boy.
City boys.
City boys.
City boys.
The Burna Boy City Boys are ragamuffins. They just cause trouble. There's jamba smoking going on. You know what jamba is?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So there's jamba smoking going on. They are ragamuffins. They cause problem. Like, yeah.
A hood N-word.
Yeah. But you see, that's the thing about me. I think because I have some masculine energy, like there's a time in my life where I feel like I could be a hood.
I could be a hood.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm a hood, what?
Yeah, bro.
But then I grew up in the suburbs, so I don't know how that was going to work.
Wait, you said what?
But then I grew up in the suburbs, so I don't know how that was going to work.
No, most definitely. No, because me too. Because
I had friends who would be like, I don't even listen to half the music you listen to. How are you listening to more hood music that I don't know than me that grew up in the hood? And I'm like, how is that my problem?
What do you want me to do for you?
You're not me. I'm not you.
Good sir. See? Like, is this the same Tony that... Look.
Yes, it is.
I keep it real.
She do.
I believe in God, and I will always treat people fairly, and I will love people with all my heart, but yeah. I will always be me.
Yeah.
And...
Yeah, just because I believe in God doesn't mean... I'm one of one.
I'm one of one.
Number
Everybody's one.
One
of one. You better believe you're one of one. Can't nobody be me, copy me, stop me, break me. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like, yeah, because your belief system and your faith is tied to your self-identity, but it's not your whole identity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think I'm very strong, too. That's the thing that's funny. Unless maybe when you just judge me from the outside, I think I'm very strong with my faith with certain things. But
yeah,
it needs to make sense.
Yeah, it needs to make sense.
I'm just not going to be out here repeating stuff because I heard my pastor say it.
Oh,
my parents said
that.
It and everybody said it. And I just keep repeating it. Like, if it's going to come out of my mouth, it's because I have probably lived through it. Mm-hmm. I have experience in it. Mm-hmm. I have read about, like, there's something tangible in this experience called life that I've explored. And it's not just, oh, well, my pastor said, okay, that's great. What does God say?
For real.
And then sometimes, yeah, they don't even know what God says. They just know what the pastor says.
They know what the pastor says. Why? I don't know. Because they think the pastor is like, what, the closest depiction of God?
And sometimes pastors be saying stuff that contradict the Bible. So if you maybe read it for yourself, you be like, yeah, you said that, but okay.
See, I don't know the Bible, if I'm being honest.
I don't have to read the Holy Bible. I have to be honest. I think because when I was younger, because of the kind of things that we talked about, how faith was such a big part of our identity, I was definitely more into my Bible than I am these days. So, like, we had to memorize parts of the Bible.
I know that.
See,
much.
You never had to go through that.
No, I didn't.
Nobody made you memorize, like, whole chapters.
The Old Testament and the New Testament.
I will lift my eyes up to the hills.
Oh.
From whence cometh my help?
I didn't know that we were reciting.
My help cometh from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth.
Guys, that's muscle memory. That's what that.
Let me tell you.
Her eyes were closed. She saw the words behind her eyelids.
Yes, it's because we had to memorize that
stuff. Wow.
And we had to memorize the books of the Bible, you see? And that's the thing with me sometimes. Like, I feel like we have to get back to that place somehow, but not exactly to the place where we were. Does that make sense?
Wait, one more time.
We need to get back to that place as a society, as the church, like where kids like memorized the Bible and memorized Bible verses. Mm-hmm. But what we just need to leave behind is the trauma that came from that.
Yeah, and it's like also the guilt tripping. Mm-hmm. If you don't know. Yeah. And it's like, well, if you took the time to teach and give them room to learn, you know, we could be there again. Because I remember when we would go to church, like when we went to church, like Speak the Word in Minnesota, like the classes, like the Bible study, like children's Bible study. Mm-hmm. And it was like school, you know, as a kid, it wasn't like my grandparents teaching me the Bible. It's like shoving it down my throat. There was a way that, you know, I feel like has dwindled, though. That
I didn't really experience Sunday school too much in America. So did you guys actually study the Word of God or did y'all just watch movies and eat popcorn?
See, it was a mixture of both. So we would watch Noah's Ark while snacking on like pretzels and drinking apple juice.
What? There's a Noah's Ark movie?
Yeah, like cartoon. But
VeggieTales?
Yeah, VeggieTales.
Oh my gosh. Those VeggieTales movies.
Yes, oh my gosh. But it was like, but Sunday school was fun though, because it's like we did it, not like it was never going to come from our parents, but it was like, even Noah's Ark itself, it was like, you know, we learned about it like through innocent, I don't know how to, what I'm saying, but like Sunday school was fun because we would read verses from the Bible, but we didn't have to memorize them or anything, but it would definitely be like interpreted and explain to us for us to conceptualize as children.
So do you think they communicated to you guys the importance or how serious faith can be sometimes? Because I think America loses me sometimes. Like when you go to church and you're eating popcorn or you go to church and they're playing these games.
I'm
like, kids are growing up and they just see church as just another activity and they don't see it as something that you are actively participating in.
You don't see it as something that like is determining your steps. Like,
how you live your life.
Like what we're talking about, like my faith is my faith because I've lived it. I've breathed it. I've seen. And I feel like the way it's taught here from when you guys are children, you guys from the get-go are made to be like spectators of the faith and not really living in it. You get what I'm saying?
Because Sunday school was like recess.
Yes. Because it's like, oh, watch a movie about it. What, like, instead of you guys discussing to them, like, okay, this just shows the wonder of God and how he thought about everything that he created. Like, so that's why I feel like when I say we have to go back, that's what I mean by we have to go back. Like, we have to go back to how we used to teach it. We just need to leave the trauma out of it. We don't need all the traumatic things that came with it. But I think maybe that will help like, your generation a little bit not feel so lost when it comes to faith.
Yeah, because I feel like a lot of the things that come with our generation and why we lost the faith is because we handle and are more aware of our trauma or like our childhood or our lives way earlier. And we're just more curious about how the way the things that have happened in our life has affected us.
So like, self-awareness. You guys tend to be more self-aware at younger ages than we were.
Yes.
Okay.
So a heightened self-awareness. So we would go to church as kids because for me, I would go to church and it's also like the mixture of like, you know, our family, like, and you know, how I was raised and parented. I was going to church, but then there was a time where, you know, we stopped going to church all the time. And it was like, even that, the cut in that, that church wasn't even taken that seriously that even when we were not at church, even us praying on Sundays or opening the Bible and praying together dwindled. So in my head, okay, if it's not shown to me or expressed by my mother, who I was raised by, that it's not as serious, I didn't really, it's not that I didn't take it serious, but it wasn't something that I felt like I needed to ground myself to walk in life because it wasn't shown by my mom. Like my mom didn't express it. She didn't. You know what I mean? So, and then to come back to like the self-awareness, the more self-aware we are, I feel like we use the fact that we've been hurt in life to kind of not blame God, but it's like, well, how am I supposed to believe if, you know, this happened? Not, and I'm not saying everybody. It's like, you know, where you're asking, it's like the depiction of the people who have lost the importance of faith in my generation and have so quickly turned either away from faith or to another belief system because the one that they've been, like Christianity, for example, has not brought them any kind of healing or benefits or their life wasn't made any kind of easier from being a Christian because whoever they were raised by was a Christian or a Catholic and it hurt them. And, you know.
I think that's a good part. Just like I think we've kind of said it in different ways. But addressing the trauma that has been associated with faith, I think that's part of the healing that needs to happen. Addressing those traumas because there were people who went to the church for refuge and the very people in the church were the ones that caused pain. The very people in the church were the first ones to ever judge them. The very people in the church were the first ones to really live that hypocritical life, like where you're preaching something, but then you're living something else. So we all have to address that as a collective, as Christians, what we call ourselves, whatever, the church, all of that.
Heavy on the what so, we call ourselves.
Yeah, because I always tell everybody, I'm like, I consider myself a Christian, but I promise you, I'm a Christian unlike any other Christian you've ever seen. So whatever expectations you have of me when I say the word Christian, you should probably leave it at the door.
Yeah, you should throw that out. And that's another thing. Even saying that is just so different to so many people based on how their belief system.
And the trauma they, that they have experienced too.
What they've tied to Christianity for them.
Yes.
And then also how it's like showed and depicted and expressed to us by society. That's another thing. Like, because faith is like, I feel like is a very personal, it's definitely a personal thing. So my faith, as much as she's my aunt, we're not going to, you know, experience the same things as being Christian women or as, you know, in our belief systems and walking in our faith. It could, they could be similar. We could have like, you know,
they're common threads.
They're common threads.
The foundations are always going to be the same. But then we all build different houses.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody got to start with a concrete slab. So that's the word of God. That's your Bible. That's But then what your house ends up looking like as you go through your different chapters of life, that's up to you. That's up to the choices you make. If you decided you wanted to upgrade your cabinets or have the regular ones,
you want to get a new door. Decided
you wanted marble tiles or linoleum. So that's where we're going to end for today. I think we covered quite a bit.
The mic.
This is our first episode. Oh my gosh.
Sorry.
We're so silly. This is our first episode recorded.
Silly goofy.
It's done.
It's recorded.
It's finished. Can we just have a pause for how long it took us to even record this first episode? This should have happened a month ago.
We spent more time trying to figure out the mechanics of this than we did talking.
And then all the other stuff that's happening in life that's just keeping us away from actually recording.
Life's a bee.
Life be lifing.
Life be lifing. But?
Life be lifing, but we stay.
All right. Life be trifling, but we stay.
Lifing.
Oh,
God. We got to work on this. Yeah.
Life be lifing.
But we going to stay striving. Oh, Lord.
Okay.
Jesus.
Life be lifing, but we stay striving.
You didn't like that? No, I didn't like that.
Oh.
Life be lifing, but we stay thriving.
Act like a lady, think like a boss.
Wow. Okay, there's a sign in front of me that says act like a lady. Tell me you have ADD.
She's a boss.
Telling me you have ADD. That's
what
that was.
Big time.
She literally just read a sign that was in front of us that had nothing to do with what we were talking about.
But it did. I just need to find another saying.
What in the Steve Harvey is going on here?
Hey,
that was a good song.
Do you know that song?
Oh, that's what we forgot. So before we go, what's your favorite song right now? Because what we're going to do is every week or every episode when we record, we're going to put the people on to some music that we're into because we're both into music. It's such a big part of both of our lives.
Very much so. And we both can sing, y'all.
Don't be putting it out there. Then people are going to expect us to sing something.
Well, when we drop that duet.
My gosh.
When we drop that a cappella.
Can you even harmonize?
You want to do it? No, that's too much on the first episode. Y'all don't get that much.
So what's a song that you're feeling right now?
Okay, wait, just one?
Yes, one per episode. So put the people on to some, what music, what song do they need to go out and listen to if they haven't heard it yet?
I'll say Come Closer by Drake and Wizkid.
You're going back. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when that video came out.
Oh, that song is so good.
Yeah. That was...
Wow, I'm fake. I never even see the video.
You've never seen the video. Wow. Who knew I would become a historian of Afrobeat culture?
Okay, at least I know the song. Obianuju by Duncan Mighty.
What were the instructions? Your generation don't know how to listen to instructions.
And I got ADD.
And y'all got ADD.
Bad.
We said one song. And
scratch that.
Yeah.
Come Closer by Drake and Wizkid. By Wizkid featuring Drake because Wizkid is Starboy. Starboy. Okay, your turn.
Call me anyone, not an idiot.
Hey, to mix up your drama. Hey, to go awesome. Okay.
My song of the week, and this is going to be a surprise to you because you already know how I had felt about this particular artist, but she grew on me.
Guys, I know.
Rhythm and Blues by Aria
Star.
I like that song. I've had it on repeat.
It was either Aria Star or Megan Thee Stallion.
Oh, yeah.
But you never not.
I've always liked Megan Thee Stallion's music.
That was lying.
It's other things that I've, but that's a story for another day, another
that
episode.
That is. But and I feel like that's kind of interesting for that.
What is the home?
Because I feel like that's the first time I feel like we're going to have opposing. I don't know.
You don't even know what I'm saying or what I'm thinking.
Girl.
I don't know why you, who else was it? I'm not going to name other people's names in here because people deserve their privacy, but other people that we know that are like, oh, you don't like Megan Thee Stallion. Well, first of all, it ain't that deep. There's no way in this life
never
that I'm
going to
be like, I don't, I might not agree with certain things, but I'm never going to be like here, like, do you think I'm writing a letter to Megan Thee Stallion? Megan, I can't stand
a death threat.
I mean, one thing I know that I do is I'm going to comment on some picture when I feel like commenting that I'm never going to hold up on. When I like something.
I'm going to have a bomb at her door, y'all. Like, it's never that serious, bro.
I'm a commenter. Like, if I see something and something comes to my head, chances are I'm going to write it on the picture. And I feel like I should have the freedom to say that. Yeah. And sometimes it's like, oh, why do you have to comment on everything? Because I like to. I like talking about pop culture because I really think that if you actually do, there are lots of things that you can learn about our world and how we are evolving. And it's like history in the making. Like, how do you think those historians, when they come up with, oh, in 1942, they used to party so hard at the Prince's Palace.
I believe they did.
I mean, so you got to know what's up. So rhythm and blues, let's stay focused. ADHD is not fun. We said
it
song.
It can be fun sometimes.
Okay, and it's been like 15 minutes.
No, for real. We had it on like 10 minutes.
Go and listen to Rhythm and Blues by Aria Star and Come Closer.
Come Closer by Wizkid featuring Drake.
Starboy. Big Wiz featuring Drake. She's taking you back and I'm bringing you to now. Look at that. Balance. Balenciaga.
Balenciaga.
Next week, I think we should do also like a funny clip that you've seen online that week.
And this would be very much telling of our generational humor.
Yes.
Because
eventually we're going to have videos up on YouTube. And I think on YouTube Shorts or whatever, we could make like different videos.
Of course. Marketing queens.
So right now we're just doing recordings because we're finding our bearings. But mm-hmm. be patient with us. We hope you'll subscribe to our podcast.
Be careful.
Come back. You will share it. And mm-hmm. watch out for our videos soon. You know, when we start doing video, we need to have the hair be laid, makeup be
Yeah.
The makeup was not makeup today. So
laid,
there was
ate,
no video.
Paid.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Okay. That is wow.
Wow. Okay.
Well, we hope you guys have a lovely week.
Thank you. Listening
to us has been like a little coffee shot of espresso for your week.
I can't get into that. I can't be drinking coffee.
She's the last person that needs to be drinking coffee.
The last.
She drinks like two sips of it and then she's bouncing off the wall and they're like, how are you?
She's not lying. But I'm also like that without coffee though.
That's what I'm saying. You didn't need it.
I didn't need it.
Because you were you times 10. And
she's
I was like,
saying me, y'all.
What are you doing, man?
Okay, well, we hope that you guys have a blessed, loving, and beautiful, peaceful time after listening to our podcast, listening to us banter.
Yes.
So
join us next time on Banter with Mimi. Tony.
Oh, wow. And me.
Eldas first. Your Eldas first. See? Another lesson we need to teach you.
Yes, okay. Sorry, Matt.
See you next time on Banter with Tony and
Mimi.
Bye.
You just finished an episode of Banter with Tony and Mimi. We just want to say thank you for taking the time out of your day to listen to our podcast. Have a wonderful day.